Such was the news of the day. Jesus of Nazareth passes by. It was often repeated when our Lord made his journeys through Palestine and its outskirts. Jesus of Nazareth passes by. What curiosity there would be to see him. What eagerness there was to hear him. What anxiety to get themselves or their friends or sick to be healed by him. His fame was noised everywhere. They would leave their farms to come to hear him. They would leave their workplace to come to hear him. They would leave their pleasure to come to hear him. To be in the multitude who thronged to hear the Saviour preach. Many accepted him as their own and personal Saviour. But many rejected him. And you know, my friend, tonight, sadly, this is a thing that's happening across the world tonight. The Lord Jesus comes through his servants bringing the message of salvation. And they either accept the Lord or they reject the Lord. Could I ask you tonight, if you're in this meeting without Christ, what are you going to do tonight? Are you going to be like this multitude? Are you going to be like the ones that accepted him? Or are you going to be like the ones that rejected him and said, I will not have this man to rule over me? But we looked in this chapter and we find a blind man. And his name is Bartimaeus. And we see his father is called Timaeus. And some of the commentators say that this was the son of a blind man. His father was a blind man. And this son was a blind man. You know, the first thing I want you to notice about Bartimaeus, he was in darkness. He was in darkness. The Bible tells us he sat outside Jericho. And you know, Jericho was a beautiful country. We read in Deuteronomy 34 and verse 2, it is called the Valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees. And many people said that people in those days would go and live in Jericho because of its beauty. But this poor man couldn't see the beauty of Jericho because he was in utter darkness from childbirth. He was unable to see the sunrise. He was unable to play with the other children in his younger days. He wasn't able to see his parents' face. He wasn't able to see his father's face. He wasn't able to see anything around the country. Because the Bible tells us he was a blind man. He was in utter darkness from childbirth. But you know, this man was in a more tragic state than this. You say to me, Tommy, how can he be in such a more tragic state? You tell us that he's a blind man from birth. Yes, that's right. You tell us that he couldn't see his parents' face. He couldn't see the beautiful country of Jericho. He wasn't able to play with the other children. He couldn't work because he was by the wayside begging because of his blindness. How is there anything more worse than that? Oh, but friend, there was. Not only was he blind physically, but he was blind spiritually. He was blind spiritually. Someone has said the eyes of his understanding are dim. His heart is wrapped up in darkness. He did not even see his sin. He had poverty of pence, but he also had poverty of soul. This man was in darkness of his soul. All he wanted was to have the physical sight again. He heard about the Savior. He heard about the Lord Jesus raising the dead. He heard about other blind people receiving their sight. But all he wanted was his physical sight. He had no thought of the spiritual side. He had no thought of anything about the spiritual side. But you know, my friend, the sad thing is, you could be in this meeting tonight and you're in darkness. You say to me, Tommy, I'm not physically blind. I can see you up there. You're wearing a red tie. You have a grey suit on. Yes, friend. You might have the best eyesight. You mightn't have to wear these goggles that I have to wear. But you know, there's a worse state that you're in. You're in physical. You're in spiritual blindness. Why was this man in spiritual blindness? The answer is found in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Who was it that blinded his eyes spiritually? And who is it is blinding your eyes spiritually? It's none other than Satan, the devil. The devil had this poor man's eyes blinded spiritually, so that the light of the glorious gospel would shine in. The Bible says about the Lord Jesus, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know, this man could have the light of the gospel shining in. You know, the sad thing today is people will not let the gospel light shine in, and they're darkened. Their eyes are darkened to the gospel. Oh, what a tragic state this wee man was in, blind Bartimaeus. He sat beside the highway begging. The Bible tells us that people would have nothing to do with him. He had to beg for the money he had. He had to beg for the food. I'm sure he was in rags. I'm sure he had to be led to that wayside every day. And as people walked past, they could smell the stench of him. He had no thought of hygiene. He had no thought of anything. But you know, he heard about the Lord Jesus. And he knew that the Lord Jesus could heal his darkness, his eyesight. But he had no thought of his spiritual blindness. And you know, that's the sad thing in our world today. People have no thought of their spiritual blindness. They just keep going on and keep going on and keep going on. They don't realize what we read in John 3, that if they're not saved, they're condemned already. They have that condemnation. The Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Not about getting into it. He cannot see it. Oh friend, tonight if you're in this meeting without Christ, lift that darkness. I pray that the light of the glorious gospel tonight, the Spirit of God will speak to you, and that light of gospel will shine into your darkened heart, and you might come to know him who to know is life eternal. Oh, this wee man was in darkness. But I want you to notice something else. He was in danger. The Lord Jesus was passing by. He heard the cry from the people, Jesus is coming. He could not see if the Lord was near or far. He was blind and could not see the danger of missing the Savior. His chance of being healed could be gone forever if he did not meet the Lord Jesus. And you know, friend, tonight the Lord Jesus is passing this way. You may be blind to the danger your soul is in if you do not meet him. The Bible tells me in Genesis, God's Spirit shall not always strive with man. The Bible tells me because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with a stroke. Then a great ransom canst not deliver thee. Oh friend, tonight he was in danger. He was in danger of missing the Savior. And you know, tonight you could be in danger of missing the Savior as he passes by in this meeting. And all round Garva and all round the world tonight, there are men and women and they're in danger of missing the Savior. They're in danger of going into that lost, Christless eternity. You know, people will not heed the warning. You know, people will not heed that their soul is in danger. Some people will say, oh, well, I'll just try my best. You know, there were people who lived in a town in the USA. And they lived beside a town, and there was a great dam. And you folks would be the town, and I would be the dam. And every year they would send the engineers up to make sure that that dam wouldn't break or the people would be flooded. Year after year, the engineers would go up and look and it would be fine, and they would come and tell the people it would be fine. But this year they sent up a young man, and the young man went up and looked at the dam, and he saw cracks appearing on the dam. And he called a meeting of all the people from this town. And he said, "Folks, I believe that this dam could go at any time. I would advise you to move up to the higher ground." Some people listened to what he said. And some people took that advice and went to the higher ground. But of course, there were those that said, "Well, what does he know? He's only a young man. We've been here for years and this thing will not give. I'm just staying my ground." One night, as they were in bed, the dam broke. And many of those people that didn't go to the high ground were washed into a Christless eternity. I know, my friend, that's what's happening tonight in many gospel meetings. People will not take the warning of God's servant who's standing and warning them that there's danger in missing the Savior. And there's danger of missing him tonight. And you know, they're saying, "Well, I'll take my chance. But you know, the chance can go. The Bible says, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Oh, this wee man was in danger. He was in danger of missing the Savior. I lifted a little book the other day, and it told a story about a lady who lived in a little pensioner's bungalow in the great Balmoral estate. And Queen Victoria would visit around these people the odd time. And this woman was a widow, and she lived beside another widow. And one night they had a terrible fight, a terrible row. And the woman said, "I want nothing to do with my neighbour. I'm going into my house and I want nothing to do with her. I don't want her near me at all." And she sat down in her fireside, and as normal, her temper got worse and worse. She heard footsteps coming to her door, and she heard a gentle knock on the door. She said, "I'm not answering the door to that woman. I want nothing to do with her. Matter of fact, I'm going to bed." And she heard a louder knock on the door. Then she heard a louder knock, and then eventually she heard the footsteps going away. The next morning she woke up, and as normal as would happen, her temper had gone down. And she said, "I'm just as bad as my neighbour. I must go in and apologise. It's as much my fault as it is her fault." And of course she went into her neighbour, and the two of them hugged and said they were sorry, and they apologised. And the woman said, "Look, I'm sorry that I didn't answer the door to you last night." And the woman looked at her and said, "I wasn't at your door last night. But I tell you who was at your door. Queen Victoria was at your door." And she knocked gently. Then she knocked loudly. And then she walked away. And that woman in her little gospel tract said that never ever again did Queen Victoria darken her door. And she said, "You know, that is like the sinner." She said, "The King of Kings, who is greater than Queen Victoria, comes knocking at the heart door gently." And the person said, "I'm not answering." And then the Lord Jesus knocks a wee bit louder. And the person says, "I'm not answering." And he knocks a bit louder. And then eventually the scripture says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And says, the Spirit of God leaves, and that person is lost. The opportunity is gone. That woman never ever met Queen Victoria again. And you know, my friend, tonight in this meeting, your opportunity could go that you may never meet the Lord Jesus. You know, you just can't come to Him in your time. He says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. But praise God, this little man, blind Bartimaeus, realized that he was in danger. He realized that he was in danger. You know, he was in darkness. He was in danger. But I want you to know he had a decision to make. And you have a decision to make tonight, man or woman without Christ. You have a decision to make tonight. And you know, this wee man, when he realized the Savior was near, the only thing he could do was to cry unto the Lord for mercy. His cry was a prayer, and his prayer was a cry. It was a short prayer. He didn't use the prayer books because he couldn't read. All he could do was cry to the Lord for mercy. But I want you to notice something. As he was calling to the Lord, there were those that were discouraging him. The Bible tells us in verse 48, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. You know, they said, the crowd that was there said, it's not right for you, an old beggar man, to call on the Savior. Hold your peace. Keep quiet. The Lord doesn't want to know about you. You know, this wee man had a decision to make. Was he going to listen to the crowd and be lost and not have his sight returned? Or was he going to keep crying unto the Lord until the Lord heard? And my friend, tonight you have a decision to make. Are you going to listen to the old devil whispering in your ear? Don't believe what that boy is preaching tonight. You have plenty of time to get saved. Or are you going to say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me? But praise God, he made the right decision. Do you know what the Bible says? He cried all the more, the louder. He cried all the more, the louder. And he made the right decision. You know, there's some people, I remember a preacher telling one time that he had a gospel mission. And he said that at that gospel mission, many people were getting saved. And he said he never forgot one night that he made an appeal. And he said to the folks, look, putting up your hand will not save you. But it indicates to me that you want to get saved. And it indicates, and I'll pray for you. And just at that minute, this big man put his hand in the air. And all of a sudden, another hand grabbed it, pulled it down. After the meeting was over, the preacher went down and he said, sir, I noticed you wanted me to pray for you for salvation, but I noticed your hand was pulled down all of a sudden. And his wife turned around and said, yes, it was me, and he's not getting saved. We don't believe in this sort of thing. He's not getting saved. And the preacher said that his heart was heavy as he watched those two people walking out through the door. The man was visibly moved and wanted to come to the Savior. But his wife was stopping him from coming to the Savior. Oh friend, what is keeping you from the Savior tonight? What is keeping you from the Savior? Oh, don't delay. Come to know the Lord Jesus. This wee man had a decision to make. And what a decision he made. He made the right decision. But you know, last of all, I want you to see, he was in danger. He was in darkness. He was in danger. He had a decision to make. But praise God, he got deliverance. Notice, it wasn't to the church he called. It wasn't to some religious organization he called for mercy. He cried out to the Lord Jesus for mercy. He was in a miserable state. Praise God, misery is the object of mercy. Misery is the object of mercy. His own miserable case he brings to the Son of God. But notice how gracious that the Savior was. The minute the Savior heard the sinner crying unto him, what did the Bible say? Jesus stood still. There were throngs all round him. There was people shouting, "Hosanna to the Lord." There was people all round the place. But you know, the Lord heard the wee sinner shouting, "Have mercy upon me." And the Lord stood still. Oh friend, tonight, if you say, "Lord, have mercy on me," in heaven tonight, the Lord will say, "Be quiet, there's a sinner in Garvin wants to get saved." Oh friend, come to the Savior. This wee man got deliverance. But I want you to notice something. Do you remember I said he was sitting in his old filthy rags? The Bible tells us in verse 50, "And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus." Those old rags, those smelly, smelly rags, he threw aside. And you know, my friend, that is a perfect type of the sinner. We need to throw off the rags of our sin. And we need to have that perfect robe of the righteousness of the Savior. You know, tonight, if you come to the Savior and throw off those old rags of sin, he'll put on you a perfect robe of righteousness. I remember when I was a young man going to Sunday school, and my old Sunday school teacher used to say to me, "Tommy, you need to be saved." And I used to say, "Mr. Stewart, I'm as good as anybody. I'm in the boys' brigade. I go to the Bible class. I go to churches. I go to meetings. I go to different things. I'm as good as anybody." And Mr. Stewart lifted his Bible and he turned to me and he says, "Read that. All our righteousness are like filthy rags in the sight of a just God." And my friend, you need to cast off your sin and you need to put on the Lord's righteousness. And what happened when the wee man came, Bartimaeus came to the Savior? He cried for mercy. The only one he knew that could help him and deliver him was the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as a young Christian, I used to wonder why the Lord asked this question. In verse 51, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight." As I was reading that as a young Christian, I said, sure the Lord would have knew that he was blind, that he wanted a sight. But the reason why the Lord done that was to see if he had faith. And you know what the Bible says? "And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And I love this. Immediately. Not the next day. Not in 5 days' time. But immediately he received his sight. You know, I thought, remember what I said right at the very start? This wee man never saw the face of anybody before. He never saw his parents' face. He never saw the people that were shouting. Whose was the first face he saw? Was the blessed Lord Jesus. And you know, believer, that's a perfect type of you and me. At 1 minute, we'll be in the earth. And the next minute, when we die, we'll see the face of our Savior. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what may it be? When in rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. And you know, not only did this wee man get his sight physically, but the Bible tells us, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. A wee man that was blind, darkness, blind physically and blind spiritually. But praise God, he was no longer blind, blinded physically. But praise God, he is no longer blinded spiritually because he followed Jesus on the way. Oh friend, tonight I would plead with you in this meeting. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're in darkness. You're in danger. You have a decision to make. And I pray that you'll make the right decision. Because someday, if you don't accept him as your Savior, someday you'll meet him as your judge. Just in closing, There was a young man riding his bicycle one day, and it was tram lines along the road. And as he rode his bicycle, the bicycle got trapped in the tram lines. And he didn't know that there was a tram coming behind him. And this gentleman saw his danger and he ran out and he grabbed the young man and pulled him away. And of course the bike was wrecked. And that man became the saviour of that young man. That young man had to go to court the next day. And what a shock he got as he sat in the court. Who was the judge? The judge was the man who had just saved his life the day before. And the judge looked down as he was sentencing the young man. And he says, young man, yesterday I was your saviour. But today I'm your judge. I'm going to have to judge you. And my friend, tonight the Lord Jesus Christ could be your saviour. But if you don't accept him as your saviour, tomorrow he could be your judge. The Bible says, boast not of thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day may bring forth. O friend, the Lord Jesus said in John 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How do you get into the kingdom of God? He tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Repent of your sins. Come to the Saviour. And he will save you. He will save you now. I pray that the Lord will bless this message to all our hearts. And that when you read this story of this little man, I'm looking forward to meeting this wee man in heaven. And I can say to him, you know, brother, I preached about you in Garva. And, you know, it's wonderful. Sometimes we don't realize this. We're going to meet these people. And we're going to be able to speak to them. And, you know, I'm looking forward to meet my Savior, first of all. But another person that I'm looking forward to meeting is the dying thief. Because he was the one that stood up for the Savior when all the rest were railing and shouting at him on Calvary. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there in the way as vile as he, may wash all my sins away. I better stop preaching, our time's nearly up. Could we turn to the hymn 230 in closing? The hymn 230. Lord, listen to these words. Life at best is very brief, like a falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf being time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast, and the fatal line be passed, being time. We'll stand to sing this hymn, please.